We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, Atlanta, welcome back in. 4 o'clock in the city of Atlanta. Hour number three here on a Saturday. We roll until 6 o'clock today. Coming up 1 hour from now, you'll hear Charles Barkley from yesterday on Dukes and Bell, as only Charles can do, bringing the funk, the pageantry, the alacrity, the intensity, and some of the comedy as well. Also, 20 minutes from now, Stan Autry, longtime golf writer for the AJC. It is moving day at Torrey Pines at the U.S. Open, third major out of four. We'll talk a little about the National Championship of Golf coming up in 20 minutes' time. Tomorrow's going to be great. Like Father's Day, you get Game 7, final round of a U.S. Open. If you like golf, or even if you're just a casual fan, and of course you love basketball and the Hawks, tomorrow's your day. Like, just tell the wife, the girlfriend, the significant other, the kids, the daughters, the sons. Guys, just today's all about me. Don't ask me to make breakfast. Don't ask me to cut the bagel in half. I'm not getting the garbage out. Tomorrow's Sunday, so there is no mail. I'm not checking the mail. Cut the grass. Forget about it. Let it grow. I mean, in my world, and maybe I'm able to get away with more just because sometimes I really don't give a damn. I'm just going to look the wife dead in the eye tomorrow and be like, honey, if you want to take the kids to the pool tomorrow for like 8 straight hours, I won't object. Because I'm going to be watching golf and then watching basketball in my underwear, drinking beer. Sorry. Just am. All right. Hawk talk. And by the way, tomorrow, pre-game show, I'll have that from 5 until 7:30. Here on Sports Radio 92.9, the game will lead you right into Mike Conti, Steve Holman, the pregame show at 7:30, tip off shortly after 8 o'clock, and then as soon as the game goes final around 10:30, jump on over to Facebook Live. Myself and Chris Goforth will have Hawks Facebook Live reaction on 92.9 The Game's Facebook page. All right, but let's get back to the Hawks. A little Hawk talk here for you. Game 7 coming up tomorrow night. And I gave you the number earlier. I said if in a best of 7, when the series is 2-2, the winner of Game 5, which was the Hawks, that winner goes on to win the series 82% of the time. We have two opportunities to close this series out. The first one last night in State Farm Arena did not go as planned, but another opportunity. And how great would it be to beat the Sixers for the third time out of four chances on their floor? As a 5 seed going into a 1 seed, it would be remarkable. Let's hear from the head coach, Nate McMillan, a little Hawk talk. Here is Nate on the Sixers' run that started the third quarter.
I thought defensively they got after us. We kind of started on our heels. It felt like the start of the last 3 games. They came out aggressive defensively. Really wasn't able to get anything. I think they went on a 7-0 run. The start of that third quarter. And offensively, we just never really got that rhythm to start the second half.
And those were one of the things, like you look back on this game from last night, you know, you got Simmons and Harris in trouble in the foul trouble department in the first quarter, and then Philadelphia subsequently goes on a 7-0 run. And then you start the second half, you're up by 4 at halftime, and the 76ers go on a 14-0 run. Like, you can't allow that to happen in your own building. And if that happens tomorrow at Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, this team will be in trouble. Let's get to a little more of Nate McMillan, interim head coach, soon to be locked down definitively as your head coach. And before we play this from Nate, one of our callers in the first hour brought this up, that he thought the Hawks got a little bit frazzled and started taking bad looks and low percentage shots. And I think there's something to that, because this team, as good as they've been and as deep as they've gone, they don't have the experience in some of these situations. I thought one of our callers in the first hour made a really good point. Here's Nate McMillan on talking about how the team needed to be more patient.
I just thought we needed to be more patient on the offensive end of the floor. I thought, when we got off to a pretty decent start, we just started to take quick shots. We didn't make them work defensively when their defense was set against us. I thought we took quick shots, which allowed them to get out into transition when we missed those shots.
Now, here's the thing. This is kind of like a catch-22. First of all, the only guy I really want taking a quick shot is Trae Young, because he's the only guy I truly believe has a solid shot of hitting one from 32 feet. But secondly, if the quick shot is an open shot, well, then you got to take it, because we have shooters. Gallinari can knock it down. Bogdanovich can knock one down. Kevin Huerter can knock one down. We have four guys more than qualified to take a quick shot if it's a good look. Now, if it's a quick shot and it's forced and it's defended, then that's terrible. But I don't want to almost neuter this team from the standpoint of, hey, we got to work the shot clock and get a real high percentage look, make them defend, move the ball around the perimeter. In theory, that's great. But if you got a good look with 17 on the shot clock, throw the stinking shot up. Let's go. I mean, we're the 5 seed here. We're trying to pull the upset. You can't just wait around to look for the perfect shot, because sometimes the perfect shot doesn't come. All right, let's get a little bit more Nate McMillan on the imperative nature of tomorrow night, Game 7.
Well, we put ourselves in position to be able to play a Game 7. You know, we didn't take care of business tonight, but we have another opportunity. And, it's win or go home. This is a must-win situation.
We had Bob Rathbun on about an hour ago on the show. And the word that he used with this Hawks team, which I think is attributed to the head coach, Nate McMillan, is mindset. It's all about the mindset tomorrow night. This team, I think, has the right mindset. First of all, they have the confidence knowing we've gone into this building and we've won twice. And look, they're the 1 seed. They're the best team in the East. Philadelphia's a tough crowd to beat. But we've also gone into Madison Square Garden and won multiple games in that venue. So we are wired or mentally conditioned to win in adverse situations. We've done it 4 times in 2 rounds in 2 hostile Northeast cities like New York and Philadelphia that are ravenous when it comes to their sports. And sometimes, or a lot of the time, way over the top. So I don't think we're going to be intimidated. So I think this team absolutely has the right mindset to be able to pull this off. I would say it's less than a 50-50 chance if I'm being objective and fair. But anybody that says we have virtually no chance is either really, really negative or just really hasn't paid attention. Because they absolutely have a good shot to win this game. And one of the reasons is Trae Young, who you're going to hear from right now. One thing that has to get better, and Trae alludes to it, you saw in Game 6 Friday night, they were 13 for 24 from the free throw line. Trae says, you got to make those free throws.
Yeah, I mean, I missed way too many free throws tonight. I think I missed 2 or 3. But I don't know. I don't know if it's anxious or anything like that. It's basketball. It's just hard. It's hard to win. It's hard to win. They're number 1 seed for a reason.
But you can't miss 11 free throws. Not in a game that was decided by 2 possessions. You lose a 5-point game because you missed 11 free throws. That's a tough one to swallow. And I don't care who the free throw shooter is. Whether he's 89% for his career, 72% for the season, or he's qualified to be Hakka you-know-whoever. Hakka Simmons, Hakka Shaq, Hakka Capella, blah, 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 blah. in these moments, you got to make your free throws. It's those little things that separate the series. All right, let's get to a little bit more. Trae Young, as we continue here on our Hawk Talk. And one of the great things that I think truly the best athletes are capable of doing is compartmentalizing and staying in the moment, staying focused on singular tasks in the present. And Trae Young says, nothing before this game will matter.
To be honest, I don't think any of it matters. It's one game. They came in and took care of business to try to force a game seven. And all the other games don't mean anything. This is one game. Both teams in a win-or-go-home situation. So,
The only thing I would push back on that with Trae Young is some of the stuff in the past games do matter. And this is just me. It's probably why I'm not a pro athlete. A, I'm not good enough. And B, I would probably lose my cool. Look, number one, I'm not letting Dwight Howard push people around. If he thinks he's just going to be this enforcer, like, you know, he's Superman, like he was labeled back in 2008 and 2010 when he was in his prime, that's one thing. But this is Dwight Howard 18 years into the league. Look, quality backup center at this point. He's big. He's physical. I'm not letting him push my team around. I would love to see some chippiness and maybe even a questionably dirty play. Somebody just want to hack him and not go for the ball and knock him on his you-know-what and say, yeah, we can do that too. We got some guys that are physical and strong. I would love to see it. And then also, the hard fouls on John Collins. That has stood out to me in this series as either, and Chris Goforth brought this up last night on our Facebook Live show, that he thinks Philadelphia has some sort of a scouting report that they just think that John Collins is kind of soft and they can push him around and commit those hard fouls. And John's a very, very reserved guy, very disciplined guy, military background with his parents. Enough of the hard fouls on John Collins that go unaccounted for, whether it's the officiating with the whistle or other guys on his own team stepping in, bumping a chest, maybe giving a little bit of a shoulder shrug, a little nudge, and say, yeah, you're not just going to keep abusing my guy. Enough. One thing to go for the ball and have a hard playoff foul, it's another when you completely do not make a play on the basketball and it's just over-the-top physical contact. That's got to stop as well. All right, finally on Hawk Talk, Trae Young, what is the plan for Game 7?
Just gotta go in there with the right mindset. Go in there locked in and go in there like it's a business trip. Go in there, try to take care of business, and that's the plan.
You heard Trae. The word again, mindset. Same thing Bob Rathbun mentioned an hour and 15 minutes ago. It's all about the mindset. This team is absolutely wired from the new head coach, Nate McMillan. Because 4 months ago, this team didn't have that mindset. They didn't have that mentality under Lloyd Pierce. They got it now under Nate McMillan. And that's a big part as to why we are at this point still playing basketball on Father's Day. And why Nate McMillan, sooner rather than later, will shed the label interim head coach. They've got the mindset. Can they execute tomorrow? Can they make enough shots? Can they avoid the big run? You're going to have to survive the opening 6 minutes. That place is going to be lit. Philadelphia is going to be playing at an all-time level. Energy off the charts. You've got to find a way to either avoid the initial surge and avoid a 14-4 deficit before the first media timeout. Or if that does happen, you've got to survive the surge, go on your run, settle in, and then play the next three quarters. But we will see in just about 28 hours. All right, 404-741-0929. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can get me on Twitter at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. You can be listening on the Odyssey app. If you're not listening, if you're not communicating, then you're not trying, because there's plenty of ways to get us and get at us. Coming up next, Stan Autry, longtime golf writer for the AJC. We'll talk a little U.S. Open. They're out of Torrey Pines, and the scores are low. We'll delve into that next here on the Nick Kale Show. All right, good to have you guys in here on this Saturday as we hang out for about another hour and a half. Stan Autry, longtime golf writer for the AJC, will join us in just a couple of moments to talk a little U.S. Open. But let's, before we get him on, a couple of guys that are making some notable headlines at the U.S. Open. By the way, they're playing at Torrey Pines out in San Diego. Right now, your overnight leader heading into the weekend. Look, if you've heard of this guy, God bless you. I love golf, watch it religiously, play it constantly, bet on it, play fantasy golf. Never heard of him. 48-year-old Robert Bland at 5-under. He and Russell Henley go off at 1:35 local time. Coming up. But you got a bunch of notable guys right there. Louis Yu stays in at 4-under. Matthew Wolf at 4-under. Bubba Watson at 3-under. John Rahm is at 3-under. Koepka, Thomas, DeChambeau all -1. Xander Schauffele -1. Scottie Scheffler. And then a bunch of notable guys at even par. Most notably Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Ian Poulter, and Paul Casey. So it feels like that when you look at the way this thing is shaping up, the guys that are at even par or better are still in it. And anything can happen at a U.S. Open, treacherous rough, rock-hard greens, errant shots, leads quickly diminish, people come back to the pack. All of a sudden, you thought you were five shots back. Now, all of a sudden, you look up, you're only two shots back, and you've got seven holes to go. So I think a lot of things that can still happen here. But the leaders still have to go off. So if some of these guys in the 3, 4, 5 under range can get it to 6 or 7, maybe even 8, that's going to be interesting going into tomorrow. Because usually at a U.S. Open, you're not going to see double digits under par. So we'll see how that plays out. But guys like DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Rory, all of these guys, I mean, DeChambeau's only through 3 holes. Rory's through 7 holes. Dustin Johnson is through 11. So these guys that are at even or 1, if they can get it to 2 or 3 under, they're going to be in a good spot, assuming the leaders, which are Richard Bland and Russell Henley, don't run away with it. Which at a U.S. Open, by and large, unless you're Bryson DeChambeau or Tiger Woods, or Rory McIlroy, you're probably not going to run away with it. I think the pressure will get to those guys. They're not used to being in that situation. I think we get a condensed leaderboard by the end of today, which sets up for tremendous drama tomorrow. Final 18 holes, Father's Day Sunday, U.S. Open. I mean, short of a game 7 in sports, doesn't get much better than that. But one thing I want to get to, and if we get Stan on at some point, I'm going to ask Stan, because Stan's been covering golf for a long time. And I kind of think Stan will probably give the answer I'm expecting, that he doesn't like it. But I think it's a great conversation. The talk of the world of golf, one of the things that has literally taken over social media is this feud between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. And, you know, you're going to have your old school golf guy who says it's disrespectful, it's not the way the game of golf is supposed to go, it's bad for the sport. And I understand the etiquette of golf. I've been playing it religiously for almost 10 years. I think I have a good historical basis of the game. But the fact that we now have two monsters off the tee, two powerhouses, Brooks Koepka, who's got 4 majors, Bryson DeChambeau, who's got 1, he won the U.S. Open last year at Wingfoot, and they're engaged in a social media beef. I think it's great for the sport. I think it grows. Everybody's going to say, well, old school guy says it doesn't grow the game. I think it does, because I think there's a lot of younger people that say, oh, golf's boring, it's too slow, it's elitist, it's too expensive, a lot of which is true. It's not my thing. But now you've got Koepka and DeChambeau literally crushing each other on social media. And then the disgust and disdain for each other in person, which took it to another level about 1.5 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, following the PGA Championship in South Carolina, Bryson DeChambeau was somewhere out of the range of the camera shot on the putting green, the practice range, something. And Brooks Koepka was getting ready to record an interview with the Golf Channel following some of his round and his work for that day. And they're getting ready to record it with Todd Lewis. And you can see Koepka looking out the corner. And this video got leaked by somebody from the Golf Channel. And you can see Koepka looking out the corner of his eye like, oh, there's that D-bag Bryson DeChambeau over there. So he's getting ready to answer some of the questions. And he's talking with Todd Lewis. And DeChambeau walks behind him to go into the clubhouse or wherever he was going. Koepka totally loses his train of thought, gets angry. They have to cut the tape. And he's like, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Can't concentrate with that bleepity bleep. So I thought that was really good. And look, somebody got probably in trouble for leaking it. But it just showed that these guys really don't like each other. And if you're wondering where the beef comes from, it started when Brooks Koepka had four majors. Bryson DeChambeau decides to start changing his body physically, bulking up, wants to be the world's longest driver of a golf ball. And he takes the sport by storm. And I think Koepka looked at it like, dude, have you seen my guns? I'm the big dog here. And DeChambeau goes on, wins the U.S. Open. And I forget the way it was asked, but he was prompt about being, you know, getting incredibly big and jacked up and compared to Brooks Koepka, who's also jacked. And I think DeChambeau said something to the effect of, yeah, he's got big arms, but he doesn't even have a six-pack or anything. Hey, like, Koepka's, you know, Koepka's got a little bit of a gut. Nothing big. I mean, guy's rock solid, but, you know, he don't have a six-pack. He's not, like, carved out of stone. So Koepka took offense to that. He goes on social media and tweets at DeChambeau. He goes, yeah, you're right. I don't have a six-pack. I'm too short. And he shows his four major championship trophies in his trophy case, two U.S. Opens, two PGA championships. So then it's going on and on and on, and now they're tweeting each other about how the other guy's living rent-free in the other guy's head, and you've got DeChambeau on the range and DeChambeau on tee boxes at events, and fans are calling him Brooks to get under his skin. So this thing has been, I think it's been great for golf. I think it's great for the sport. It's bringing in the younger generation and maybe the people that never wanted to watch golf before. And if there's a golf god out there, DeChambeau and Koepka are both one under par right now. So please, 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 for the love of God, let them be paired together tomorrow at the U.S. Open with a chance to win. But even if they don't have a chance to win, I'll just take them together, paired together, because we all know they hate each other's guts. And you say, well, it's there's rivalries and then there's going too far. Well, what's going too far? Talking trash on social media? I think that's great. We heard these guys talk trash in the NBA, in the NFL, when they're mic'd up with NFL films. I don't care if they hate each other or if it's just competitive jive. I want to hear it. I want to see it. See, we've gotten to this point now where everybody's just too nice to each other in sports, in every sport. Well, they've got the same agent, same shoe company, yada, 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 all this civility. Like, one of the things that's great about sports is the rivalries, whether they are friendly, like good old-fashioned clean hate, or if there's truly disdain for the opponent. Like, go back to the 80s in the NBA. The Celtics and the Lakers, the Pistons and the Lakers, the bad boy Pistons. You go to the Bulls and Knicks of the 90s. Sports are great when these guys truly hate each other. Now, I'm not saying you got to hurt the other guy intentionally. I'm not saying we got to have bounties and head hunting and things like that. But, I mean, this just makes it that much more compelling. 404-741-0929 if you want to jump in. And I think the other thing too, you got to keep in mind, if you're a golf guy, you'll know this. They've created this program now to incentivize PGA Tour players to be more affable on social media to the point where they get compensated for it. So some of this, I'm sure, is calculated. They've both downplayed it in front of TV cameras and microphones. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's good for the game. And they both say it's good for the game. DeChambeau and Koepka have both said this trash talk is good for the game. And DeChambeau, of all people, a big traditionalist. I mean, he wears the old school hat. He's a big historian with Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and all that other stuff. And they say it's great. But I do think there's a calculated element to this, probably from their agent and their representative saying, look, you can make some money on this. And one of the knocks, and I think this is why it proves it, it's a little bit calculated from the Koepka camp. 2 or 3 years ago, Brooks Koepka just started becoming like a total jerk to the media. And everyone was asking, like, well, why are you so grizzly? And not that you're confrontational, but you're very, you know, you're very short spoken. You don't say much. And he's like, well, you guys never really cover me or pay attention to me. I've won a couple of majors and I'm still an afterthought. So now, fast forward, probably 2 years ago, Koepka said in an interview, I'm going to be more outspoken. I've got multiple majors. I've got opinions. I've got things to say. You're going to start hearing them. And that's kind of the double-edged sword of the media. We crush a guy for not being compelling, being a terrible interview, not giving us a good soundbite. And then when they become what they are now, which Brooks Koepka kind of trolls Bryson DeChambeau on Twitter, we say, well, this is not good for the game. Golf's a gentleman's sport. Golf's a dying sport. One of the few industries that did well during the pandemic was golf, because you could get outside. Golf is just naturally socially distant, and golf succeeded as a business during the pandemic. But the sport itself on the PGA Tour level struggles to get ratings unless Tiger Woods is involved, unless it's a major. And unless you've got Phil Mickelson or Jordan Spieth, there are very few guys in the world of golf that move the needle. So I would think, if I'm running the PGA Tour, anything to make my sport get more attention is a good thing. If social media, if the number one trend on Twitter for 4 days in a row is Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, feud, it's good for your sport. It was one of the lead stories on every sports show. And how often is a golf story a lead story on any sports show unless it's involving Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson? You don't see it. But this was that big. And I think it puts the sport in a really, really good light. Except for old school stodgy golf guy who's 58 years old and says, yeah, I just would rather just not have that happen. But then again, that guy's probably not on social media anyway, so he probably doesn't get it. 404-741-0929, the number. We'll try to touch base with Stan Autry if we can get him in here. Charles Barkley on the way as well from the Dukes and Bell show yesterday. Nick Kale show, we're back after this. All right, welcome back in, Nick Kale Show, as we roll till 6 o'clock today. We'll get back to your Hawks calls if you want to jump in, coming up in just about 20 minutes. 404-741-0929, as we'll get back to all things Atlanta Hawks for probably the next 30 minutes. We'll squeeze in some Braves before we get out of here as well. And if we touch base with Stan Autry to talk a little U.S. Open, we'll get him in as well. So we'll do a little audible here. Charles Barkley was going to be at 5 o'clock, but we're going to give that to you right now in the event Stan's able to join us to talk some U.S. Open. So right now, Charles Barkley on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, John Chuckery in for Carl.
Hey, man, it's Friday in Paradise. We got John Chuckery in for Carl Dukes today. Yeah, the Georgia Rattlesnake is here, brother, and we're getting you hyped for could be an elimination game. That's what we're looking at in Game 6.
Oh, tonight. No, it's an elimination game. It's an elimination, all right.
One of our favorite things on Friday is get to talk to Charles Barkley, and Charles will be actually hitting the road Saturday, Charles Barkley live in the Redmond Zone at Total Wine and More in Alpharetta. That's 6290 North Point Parkway Plaza, 12 to 3, a bottle signing event. So everybody loves Chuck, so go see Charles in person, and he joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. What's up, boss?
Hey, I got a feeling I know what y'all want to talk about today.
All right, brother, let's start with it. I mean, if you're the Sixers, I mean, Charles, it just seems like the world is crashing down on them. Can they handle the pressure? Are they going to fold tonight?
I think the Hawks will win the game tonight. I'm not going to lie. I think the Hawks will win the game. My Sixers, from a psychological standpoint, I don't know how they can bounce back from that choke job the other night. So I think the Hawks do close them out tonight.
As always, Charles is brought to you by Redmond Vodka, 8 times distilled, non-GMO, and gluten-free. Charles, what do you make of a Hawks team that really, since the first half of Game 1, finds itself constantly getting itself down by 10, 12, 18, 26, but always seems to find a way to rally and get this thing back? What do you make of that kind of Jekyll and Hyde aspect, you know, of an NBA team, especially at this time in the playoffs?
Well, I think because they're young. They've never been in this pressure situation before. Like I said at halftime of the last game, I said, this Hawks team looks like they're young. Mm-hmm. They've never been punched in the mouth and just don't realize the regular season is not the same as the postseason. The intensity is on a whole nother level. But they got so many weapons. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got a lot of weapons. Like the other night, Gallinari and Lou Williams turned that whole game around. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple games ago, remember, it was Shake Milton from the Sixers and then Steph Curry. But the Hawks got more weapons. So I think that gives them an advantage if they don't just – if the moment's not too big for them.
Right. And we've done it without three-point shooting. We had a great three-point shooting night in Game 1, and then we've been winning without it. Charles, what do you make – where do you fall on Ben Simmons? I mean, tremendous talent, but do you say, look, you just got to hit the gym and take a gazillion free throws and work on the outside game? Where do you fall on a talent that doesn't take jump shots?
Well, I've said before, Ben Simmons can be an all-star because he's got a lot of talent. He can never be a superstar if he can't shoot. I think they've gotten mad at me in Philly. Mm-hmm. I said, he can be an all-star. But he can't be a superstar because, number one, he don't shoot the ball, so it's really 4 against 5. And then, secondly, when the game's on the line, you can't go to him. I mean, think about it. Go back to the last game. He's standing – an all-star is standing over in the corner, and they're afraid to give him the ball, and he don't want the ball. So it's really a disadvantage for the Sixers.
Charles, in a game like this, given what happened the other night in such a big comeback and obviously the emotions running high and low for both sides, how important is that first 5, 6, 7 minutes in a game like this? Can that really decide, you know, how this thing is going to play out tonight very early on?
100% agree with you. I think the first quarter is going to be huge because if the Sixers get down, they're going to feel that pressure. Mm-hmm. And number one, if the Hawks get off to a great start, Sixers will feel pressure. But also, that crowd would be going nuts. So I think whoever leading at the end of the first quarter, I think will win that game tonight.
Nice. I like the sound of that. Charles Barkley's in a Redmond zone. Redmond vodka, guys. Vulcan gin. It's great stuff. Goes great with Red Bull. Goes great on the rocks. Matter of fact, go see Charles. Is he going to be?
Is it made by Vulcans?
Signed in bottles? No, it's great stuff, man. Again, you're going to be hitting the road on Redmond zone. Total Wine and More in Alpharetta, guys. That's where Charles is going to be noon to 3 on Saturday. Charles, what do you make like of the comeback? Have you ever been in the situation where you got a lead? Okay, everyone gets to sit. Starters get pulled. And it looked like the Sixers couldn't find that vibe again when they had to go back in the game. Embiid, the only guy that could do anything was Seth Curry. Is that something that, I mean, Doc is damned if he does, damned if he doesn't? Because Embiid needed some rest.
Well, the thing is, like I say, if Embiid or Seth Curry doesn't score, they're at a huge disadvantage. And when they couldn't get going because, number one, they were going at Seth Curry on defense. They post Gallinari every time he was guarding. Embiid has been getting tired, so the Sixers are at a serious disadvantage. I mean, that's the issue. But like I say, man, tonight, I can't wait to watch the game tonight because this is what real basketball is when it's an elimination game.
And you know, Charles, what's amazing is you think about what the Hawks did, and Bogdanović and Huerter really did nothing, and especially early in that game, Bogdanović couldn't hit anything all night long. You would think, Charles, back home, and especially, you know, their Hawks bench outscored the 76ers 37-13 in that game the other night. You would think that a lot of these kind of X factors all kind of checkmark toward the Hawks tonight.
Well, if you saw last night with Middleton and those other guys, for some reason, role players play a lot better at home. So I expect Bogdanović, Collins, and I think Trey, if he pushes that ball, get that crowd going crazy, man, I do. I'm serious. And I, hey, that's Ernie Johnson in the background.
Please, Ernie.
They found my wayward T-shirt, apparently. But, dude, I think if the crowd is going crazy tonight, Bogdanovich, Collins, even Capella got a really good chance of just going and finishing this thing off.
Nice. Hey, man, we talked a lot as Charles Barkley joins us here in the Redmond Zone from the golf course with EJ Jr., by the way. We've talked a lot about Trey versus Luka. Trey is now becoming a superstar on the big stage. What do you make of the soap opera in Dallas? Donnie Nelson steps away. Rick Carlisle steps away. And is Luka a drama queen? What's Mark Cuban going to do to put this fire out?
You know, man, I've been saying this for years. I worry where the NBA is going. Now you see Luka's getting people fired. You see, what's his name again? Zion, his family ain't happy with. So now, hey, the players run the league. They can get everybody hired and fired. And that's just where we're at, and it's really unfortunate. I'm like, wait a minute. Why are these young kids running the league? They haven't accomplished anything yet. And that's what bothers me. Like, getting people fired after 1 or 2 years in the league, that's not right, in my opinion. And Zion's family need to shut the hell up. We're not asking them their opinion. So they need to shut the hell up.
You know, Charles, it's moving toward a different-looking playoffs from the star power this year. It's a lot of guys that are getting their kind of chance to be in this big stage. You know, there's no AD, no LeBron, you know, either Milwaukee or, you know, Brooklyn's obviously going to get knocked out. So the MVP's already been knocked out. It is a different look and feel from a star perspective. Is that a good thing, or, you know, does the NBA want Steph and LeBron and those guys to help make as many eyeballs as they can on the product?
Well, I think it's great for the NBA because, you know, when they start creating these super teams, we ruin all these franchises. Mm-hmm. You know, you want competitive balance. And, you know, when Kevin and Russ left OKC, we're not going there ever again. When LeBron left Cleveland, Miami, we're never going there again. Toronto, when Kawhi left, I hate super teams. It's great that the Atlanta Hawks are doing well. Mm. I love that. I mean, you know, you knew Brooklyn was going to be good when they got those three guys. But I love the fact that the Atlanta Hawks are good. The Clippers are doing great. You know, Dallas got a good team. I mean, you know, my Phoenix Suns are doing great. So I think it's better for the league we have a bunch of good teams.
You buying what LeBron was selling the other day, that because of the compressed schedule? Or is that just, I mean, you have injuries every year, but all the guys that are dealing with something, now Kawhi is out. I mean, what were they supposed to do, start the season in February?
Hey, I don't know why LeBron's in. He resting up, so what the hell is he talking about? Why don't you talk to the guys who are actually still playing? Why is he worried about who's getting tired of? He's getting plenty of rest right now. He's been off like a month now, so shut the hell up.
Charles, if you have Philadelphia and Milwaukee get knocked out in this, is it time for those franchises to take a real hard look inside and say, you know, we've got elite players on this team, but – you know, neither franchise is really getting over the hump.
Let me tell you something. If Philadelphia and Milwaukee both lose, it's going to be major changes. Major changes. I mean, because, yeah, and I know how Philly works. That's going to be major changes. Because, you know, you can't keep doing the same thing every year. Mm-hmm. This is like the third or fourth year in a row where they didn't reach their full potential. When you lose to teams, listen, the Milwaukee Bucks should have no issue right now. With no Harden, no Kyrie, really, for this entire series, since game 3 or 4, if they lose this series, you got to say, man, something's got to change. And same thing in Philly, because they can't keep doing this thing with Ben Simmons. Like, he says every year, I'm going to work on my jump shot, But, like, yo, man, the years are going by. And well, we're not good enough.
Well, Charles, I would tell you, if Philadelphia loses, a pro tip for you, put the Odyssey.com app on your phone. Then that way you can listen to all of the Philadelphia sports talk radio stations and you can hear how bad it's going to get. So I'm going to point you, give you the pro tip. That's your pro tip for today. No golf lesson, but your pro tip is to put the Odyssey.com app on your phone to be able to listen to stations all over the country.
Hey, let me tell you something. If Philly loses, I would pay. I cannot. I'll fly up there just to listen to talk radio this weekend.
I mean, I know that you played there. I mean, we've all been through it. I went up there for an Eagles Falcons game. If ever there was a fan base, it was. I mean, there was some pleasure watching the reaction as Embiid was missing those free throws. Man, it was a sight. So again, for the record, you got the Hawks winning tonight, Charles.
I got the Hawks winning tonight. I'm not going to guarantee it, but I like the Hawks tonight.
All right, there he is, Charles Barkley on Dukes and Bell yesterday with John Chuckery in for Carl. Charles, prediction went awry, but that's fine. We got one more shot. Game 7 tomorrow in Philadelphia, shortly after 8 o'clock Eastern time. All right, so here's what we got coming up. We will adjust on the fly again. Stan Autry will join us to talk U.S. Open, but he's going to join us at 5:20. We'll get to the Braves in the final segment around 5:40. But when we come back, we got to react to a couple of things that Charles had to say, because Barkley went off. I don't know if Charles was having a couple of cocktails while he's on the golf course, but I love it, because I don't need to have cocktails to go off. I go off sober. He went off on LeBron. He went off on the organic super team, or I should say the organic team like Trey versus the super team, and NBA players getting coaches fired. We're going to get to all of those, plus the Hawks again on the other side. It's the Nick Kale Show. Final hour coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.